Dodgers limp home from Monterrey, Mexico after losing to the Padres today 3-0. Eric Lauer gets his first major league win. Tony Cingrani gets the loss. He's now 0-2 as the Dodgers drop 2-3 to the Padres in Monterrey, Mexico. They finish off their longest road trip of the season. It was 11 games in 10 days. They go 4-7 on the road trip as they're now 15-19 on this season. They had just about as many wins as injuries on this road trip, and that is not a good thing for the Dodgers, who lose Clayton Kershaw now to the disabled list. Before the game, Dodgers have made it official. He was placed on the 10-day DL with left bicep tendonitis. Brock Stewart called up from AAA Oklahoma City, and he pitched in the 8th inning today for the Dodgers. Still no official word on the diagnosis or what the future is as far as Clayton Kershaw and that tendonitis in the bicep. If we find anything out between now and the bottom of the hour, we'll certainly pass it along. Ned Coletti from Spectrum Sportsnet LA is here on Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. And Ned, have you ever seen anything like this before? The amount of injury starting to mount up with star players like this?
Well, once in a while, you do see it. It has been a very, very rugged road for the Dodgers. Three-fourths of their infield is still out. Shortstop will be out for quite a while. You've got another starting pitcher. You got one coming off the DL. You got the best pitcher of this era. Just went on the DL. You got Yasiel Puig. He's out. You got a lot of different things going on, so it's a tough period of time, no doubt. Nobody feels sorry for you.
No.
You're going to have to figure out a way to get through it.
866-987-2570 is the telephone number here to Dodger Talk. Pound blue if you're an AT&T subscriber. As the Dodgers now have a day off tomorrow, they return home to Dodger Stadium for a 6-game homestand, 2 against the first-place Diamondbacks and then 4 against the Cincinnati Reds. Clayton Kershaw, the left bicep tendonitis, still no official word, Ned. This could go a couple of different directions. Obviously, you don't want to think worst case, but best case is a couple of weeks of rest and get the swelling down, get the tendonitis out of there, and he's back in this Dodgers rotation.
Well, I think if it was a couple of weeks, I think that would be tremendous news. I think that typically if it is just a tendonitis, it's going to be probably 5 to 6 weeks. Got some recent history with Phil Hughes and King Felix up in Seattle and a few others that have struggled through this. The greater concern is that this is part of the body that is attached to your labrum and your shoulder. So the attachment piece of that is something that obviously Dr. Neil Elitrosh will be checking out to see where everything is. For Clayton Kershaw to ever miss a start, you know it's hit a limit. For him to have pitched through it before, as Dave Roberts has said in the last few hours, that this is not the first time he has had it. But it is the first time it's ever been bad enough that he's gone on to DL. Been the DL before for disc, for back issues, hip issues, but not for anything connected to the arm. So you got to hope for the best. You got one of the best orthopedic doctors in the world, perhaps, in Neil Elitrosh. So he knows Clayton Kershaw very, very well. Sure they're doing all the right diagnostics now to figure out exactly what's going on in there.
Now, if you kind of go back and look at the last couple of days and connect the dots, it certainly makes sense now why he didn't start this weekend in Monterrey, Mexico. They were going to push him back to Tuesday. We talked about that last night, and maybe the reason why, to give him some extra rest, and why last night while we were doing the postgame show, we find out Rich Hill is not going to start today. Instead, it's going to be Ross Stripling. It's easy to look back now and say, oh, okay, it was all centered around Clayton and the tendonitis and the bicep, but it's been something that bothered him enough yesterday that he couldn't throw his bullpen session.
Yeah, and you know the change in your rotation today, I thought was a smart move. As we learn more, Ross Stripling pitched very well today. You give up 3 runs overall. You know, should have a chance to win a game. Cingrani had a couple runs tagged to him, 2 on a Hosmer home run there. But I think that as you set it up to have your ace out now and for a while, perhaps, to have Ryu out till after the All-Star break, and Rich Hill just coming back, plus Arizona coming to town, who you're trailed by 8 right now. You've got to use your best against their best. And if you got a chance to use Rich Hill on Tuesday, give him 2 more days, use a bullpen game today, which they did. That's how you've got to go. You've got Rich Hill, you got Alex Wood lined up against Arizona. Need to try and make a stand here. You probably need to win 2 to get it back down to 6. The Dodgers had cut 3 games off Arizona's lead by winning the last 2 in Arizona. than the first one against San Diego and Monterrey, Mexico on Friday night, as Arizona then, after losing two to L.A., lost the next one to Houston. But they've rallied back against the world champions to win the last 2 days, while the Dodgers have dropped to two. So you've got that eight-game deficit, I think, back in order right now. So it's important that you do have Hill ready for that, and that you got Alex Wood to back him up on Wednesday.
Dave Roberts, after the game, announcing that Ross Stripling will be in this rotation, at least another time through this rotation, that is, for the Dodgers. He went four innings, no runs, four hits, five strikeouts, walked two, threw 68 pitches, Ned, and it's the most pitches he has thrown since August 31st of 2016 in a start against the Colorado Rockies. His role, this team obviously changed to a guy coming out of the bullpen and a spot starter for them. Any problem with him coming out after four innings and only 68 pitches today?
No, I think that's where he's at, and he was very effective, as you saw in the game. Tim, you know, he had a good live fastball, 91-92, also a very good slider. He's always known how to pitch. Interestingly, when he was coming up through the system, the Dodgers had Alan Webster, they had Ruby De La Rosa, a couple guys that drew everybody's attention. But those who scouted him and those who really knew the player development system thought this is the one kid that has really got a chance to kind of be under the radar and be a very effective major league pitcher. And really, that's what we've seen throughout his career. He's had a real good start to this season. He's somebody that now Dave Roberts is using for 68 pitches in this game. He can run him out there for probably 80 the next time, depending on how the success rate goes. He'll probably face Cincinnati, a team that has struggled to win games. So I think he's one of the best guys you got, and you're going to have a little bit of a hole now is in a long man role, because he's done great with that, but perhaps that's Brock Stewart will take over that.
866-987-2570, pound blue for you AT&T subscribers, as the Dodgers get shut out today in Monterrey, Mexico. 3-0, the Padres win it. Just the 13th win of the season for San Diego. They take 2-3 from the Dodgers, as the Dodgers now four games under 500 on the season at 15-9. Let's go out to Philip, who's going to check in here on Dodger Talk with Ned and Tim. How you doing, Philip?
Hey, guys. I think we need to be worried about this season with the injuries, but I think we can do it, play good without Kershaw, because our record showed that we did pretty well without Kershaw when he was on the DL. So, but just got to have some hope and hope things turn around.
All right, Philip, appreciate the phone call. Here are those numbers. The Dodgers' record the last 2 years while Kershaw has been on the disabled list. In 2016, the Dodgers were 38-25. Last year, when the Clayton Kershaw was on the disabled list, the Dodgers went 24-10. Now, certainly you can put an asterisk next to that and say Corey Seager was in the lineup, and so was Justin Turner for a lot of those games. This lineup looks a lot different than the last 2 years when he was out.
Yeah, you've got a lot of different situations. You know, the Dodgers have had a winning record when he's out, which means that they're resilient and they play hard no matter what the dynamics are. But you also had Seager on those teams. You didn't have Puig out. You just didn't have the amount of injury that you have right now. When you think about having a really good infield, and for the last few days now they've missed the second baseman, the shortstop, and the third baseman. And hopefully Justin Turner is going to be back here in another week or so. It sounds like he's going to start to swing a bat against live pitching here in the next days to come. You still got Forsythe out, and you still got, of course, Seager going to be out for another year. So you've got an infield that has got one player, Cody Bellinger, in it from what you drew up back in the spring training. So a lot of different changes, a lot of different things going on. So they just got to hold tight, and they got to try and get back a game here, a game there, and start to make a move. Arizona will hit a dry spot.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. That's how the season goes. Dodgers got to keep moving forward and try and take a game here, a game there, to get back within striking distance so they get their group back together.
Speaking of dry spots, the offense today got on base, Ned. They had 13 runners left on base against Eric Lauer, the starter for the Padres, a 22-year-old left-hander. The Dodgers were 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. In the game today, they were 0-for-9 as a team. So they had runners on in multiple innings today. In fact, the second, third, fourth, and seventh and eighth innings, they had runners on first and second or first and third in those innings. So they had the guys on. The Ducks are on the pond, so they say, but just couldn't drive them in.
No, San Diego made three errors compounding it, and you got a young pitcher out there, had not won a big league game yet, left-handed. ERA, as you say, up in the tens. and you get three errors also to add to your group. Many opportunities, a lot with two outs, needed a clutch hit here, a clutch hit there, and we all know how it goes. Runners in scoring position, it goes hot, it goes cold, and when it does go cold, people are trying to do a little bit too much and trying to be the person that can cause something good to happen for their group. Sometimes that's not how it goes. Obviously, I don't think anybody foresaw going into San Diego and losing, or going into Monterey, Mexico, and losing two out of three to the Padres.
866-987-2570, pound blue for you AT&T subscribers. Mitch in the Valley is next up here on Dodger Talk. How you doing, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Hey, and Tim, hope you're not hurt since the last time we spoke. And, Ned, I'm looking forward to your sequel. Yeah. We have to go out and get Manny Machado. I know we struck on Ohtani. Could we bring up DJ Peters? He had a great spring. We're popping this, man. We're getting runners on base, but nobody's driving them in.
No, definitely lacking the power right now. Mitch, we appreciate that. I think the Dodgers' biggest need right now, Ned, and it's obviously too soon to say, depending on what you hear as far as the injury to Clayton Kershaw, but they're definitely going to need another arm. Whether Kershaw's out a short amount of time or an extended amount of time, they need another arm in this rotation. And I was just looking up in AAA during the game, is there an option that hadn't come across yet? And, the only thing I can think of, the only player, is Manny Benuelos, the 27-year-old left-hander who in six starts is 4-0 with a 1.80 ERA, a 27-year-old guy who's pitched a little bit with the Braves and a little bit, I think, in New York with the Yankees. Maybe he's an option to help get a couple of starts in here, unless you go out and make a trade.
Well, it's been tough going, and you just can't snap your fingers and have somebody show up. He may be the answer for a start or two. It sounds like Stripling's going to get another couple opportunities here. I remember when he was a young prospect in the Yankees organization, he was one of the highly touted young arms in baseball. We all know that being a prospect and being a big leaguer is a pretty big bridge across there. But this organization has had tremendous depth in the last few years, pitching staff included. And this year, that is going to be tested because you've got two guys that are out. You've actually got three out technically with Rich Hill on the list. But you're going to be tested, and there's no doubt you're going to have to figure out a way to get through Clayton's starts for however long that is. And Ryu being out till at least after the All-Star break, that's somebody else that you're going to have to replace. And he had been one of their most consistent pitchers going through the first 5 weeks of the season.
866-987-2570, pound blue. Again, for you AT&T subscribers, as the Padres shut out the Dodgers 3-0, Dodgers lose 2-3 in Monterey, Mexico. They're now 8 games back of the Arizona Diamondbacks in the NL West. As bad as the injury news has been the last 10 days, Ned, with Yasiel Puig. I mean, think about this road trip. Yasiel Puig goes on the DL with the hip pointer and the bruised foot there, and he can come back maybe Wednesday or Thursday of this week after a stint on the DL. You lose Corey Seager at the Tommy John surgery. You lose Hyunjin Ryu with the groin until after the All-Star break. And Clayton Kershaw today with the tendonitis in the bicep. The good news is, I guess, Puig's coming back. Justin Turner's been making steps to come back. And Logan Forsythe's set to go out on a rehab assignment, so he's close to coming back.
Yeah, I do think position player-wise, you're going to start to get your guys back. And I think that's important. Of course, replacing Seager at shortstop is never going to be an easy thing, nor do you expect it to be an equal situation. You do have good defense there with Chris Taylor. You do have excellent defense there also with Kike Hernandez. But you're going to get at least two of those three guys back here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, which will help, and get Yasiel back. It's not like he's going to do a rehab or something in the next couple days. So perhaps when the 10 days are up, you'll be able to get him active as well. So offense should start to become more of the group that we're accustomed to seeing. But again, your pitching is really kind of what sets the tone. And when you've got today three starters out, and as of Tuesday you'll have two of them out, that's a lot to overcome. I don't care who you are, that is a lot to overcome. Thankfully, Buehler has been very, very good. They're going to change up probably what they initially thought for him this year. I don't know if they expected him to be a full-time starter from the middle of April on. We'll see how that goes, but you look at his first three starts in the big leagues, he's had really, in my opinion, two bad innings. The first inning of both starts were a little bit shaky, not even bad innings.
Yeah.
And then from then on, he has sailed, including Friday night as part of that no-hitter. So fortunately, they do have him to come in here and pick up some of the slack.
When these guys do come back, in particular Yasiel Puig, Ned, what do you do with an Alex Verdugo? If you're running things, are you telling Alex, hey, we want you to get at bats every single day, we want you playing every single day, and that's just not going to happen right now at the major league level, we're going to send you back to AAA, or has he earned the right to start every day right now?
Well, I think as you watch Verdugo play, I mean, you watch the entire performance that he has. Four doubles on this trip. He had a very good trip. He plays with much more confidence than he did last September as he was kind of trying to feel his way. You've seen great base running. You saw him take third base against Arizona the other day in a key spot of that game. You saw the great play he made defensively on the foul ball on the line yesterday. Rainy conditions, kind of a foreign ballpark to him, came in. Timing play, had the wall, a short wall, slid, caught it. Really excellent play. I think that, you know, as competition goes, you know, he's somebody that, in my opinion, has earned some time. So you play the hot hand, maybe do a little bit of matchup baseball. You've got left-handed hitters, you've got right-handed hitters, so you do have some combination that you could use there. But Verdugo, he has played pretty well. Be interesting to see when they do get the full complement back what happens with Alex. But I'm very impressed with everything that he's been able to do here this time up. First time up last year, like any rookie. A bit of a struggle, a little bit. Until you get here, you don't know how high that bar is or what really it's going to take to make an impact at the big league level. As he saw that and as he worked this winter, you could see that he had a different focus and a different approach to everything he's done, offensively, defensively, and running the bases.
When they do get everybody back and healthy in that outfield, as you mentioned, in essence, isn't Alex Verdugo just a younger version of Jock Peterson?
Jock is somebody that goes, you know, really, really hot and then can cool off at the same time. So, you know, it's sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes they are very similar. Mm-hmm. They're both young players. They're both left-handed. They both throw left-handed. So it's a little bit some similarities
there.
But I do think that, you know, you play the hot hand, too, to some extent. And you play and Jock's had a really good 10 days here. So you play the hot hand and you figure it out. And sometimes, you know, if you're going to play Chris Taylor a lot at shortstop and use Kike back in that other role, you do have a spot there for the outfielder. When Yasiel comes back, you do. If you're going to play Chris Taylor every day in center field, yeah, then you're going to be crowded there. But you got the versatility of a Chris Taylor that can play inside the infield as well.
You only get so many bench positions on this Dodgers team, and it gets really even more limited, Dad, because of what they do with the bullpen and the way they juggle that bullpen around and use those arms down there. It seems like that fourth spot off the bench sometimes, in essence, goes to the bullpen because they just rotate those arms so much down there.
Yep, and that's, you know, we've seen on this bullpen on this past trip, we've seen some really good performances, the 7 2/3 innings when Hyunjin Ryu came out. And then we saw a little bit of a breakdown, a touch of a breakdown today and a breakdown yesterday. So it's and you also heard Dave Roberts talk about how somebody was not available today because of the workload that they've undertaken coming into that particular game. So it's something that's constantly monitored. The bullpen is always the most volatile piece. I talked to Andrew Friedman. He'll say over and over again, the thing that keeps him up at night is the bullpen. Same thing in my era. It was a bullpen that you never really knew always what you were going to get until it really settled into a routine. And I thought that they were there. They had 14 2/3 innings during this trip, starting with that 7 2/3 innings against AZ, where they were spectacular. Allowed one run, really kind of picked it up. And sometimes when you do have a long bullpen game like they did when Ryu came out, sometimes that really gives a lot of guys confidence. And you saw the no-hitter combined. You had three guys come out of the pen there. I think Garcia is going to be a nice addition. I think he looks healthy. He looks like he's got great life to his fastball. Looks like he's got confidence. Looks like he's hungry to be successful. So I think the bullpen is still a little bit of a work in progress. It hasn't been great, except for spots here and there, except for a spot here or there. It hasn't been terrible either. I think it's still trying to work its way through.
866-987-2570, pound blue for you AT&T subscribers. Ned Coletti, Tim Cates, this is Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. As the Dodgers lose in Monterey, Mexico, they get beat by the Padres 3-0. Eric Lauer gets the win of his first Major League win, going 6 shutout innings. Tony Cingrani gets tagged with the loss. He pitched an inning, gave up a 2-run home run to Eric Hosmer as the Padres scored 2 in the 5th, and then to get a Frenchie Cardoa RBI single in the bottom half of the seventh inning as the Padres take 2-3 from the Dodgers in Monterrey, Mexico. The Dodgers finish this 11-game road trip with a 4-7 record. They're now 8 games back in the NL West. And the other big news of the day is Clayton Kershaw placed on the 10-day disabled list with left bicep tendonitis. Brock Stewart got recalled from AAA Oklahoma City and actually pitched the 8th inning today, but Clayton Kershaw flew back early to see Dr. Neil Alatrash here in Los Angeles. He's being examined and looked at further today. Bill Shaken of the LA Times posted something a couple of hours ago, Ned, and said, do something. Is it too soon for the Dodgers to make moves in response to the Clayton Kershaw injury? Is it a wait and see, and depending on how long or how severe the injury or not it is to Clayton Kershaw, then you have to do something? Or can you ride this out with what you've got as far as the depth in AAA and in this major league team?
Well, first off, this is not fantasy sports. and you just can't say, well, let's go do something, or let's go over to the big warehouse and we'll pick up another shortstop or another starting pitcher down aisle 6. It doesn't work like that. And there's so many different dynamics that play into it. I think if there's something serious with Clayton Kershaw, certainly other teams are going to know that, so they will put your feet to the fire a little more if it's going to be a prolonged period of time rather than if it's going to be 10, 14 days. That's how it goes. So, I don't think you can just, snap your fingers and have stuff happen. It's easy on the outside to call for that, to ask for that, to seek that. but it's not, you can't call your brother-in-law or your buddy up and say, hey, I need another starting pitcher, pull one off your sheet at home and send them to me for a guy that I've got.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right. I think Dodger fans like to think in those terms as like fantasy baseball, like DraftKings.com, where they can go and just plug in another starting pitcher. Ken Gernick did tweet out a latest on Clayton Kershaw. He has already met with Dr. Neil Alatrash here in Los Angeles, and the club is hoping for test results on that bicep either tonight or tomorrow. So we won't know anything between now and the bottom of the hour, but certainly we will find out hopefully in the next 24 hours. Certainly the diagnosis officially for Clayton Kershaw, who was placed on the 10-day DL today with left bicep tendonitis. Day off tomorrow, Ned. It seems like there's been a ton of day offs, but you can certainly make a case this could be the biggest day off for this Dodgers team, a much needed day off after 11 games in 10 days.
Yep, you come back from a trip like this for a lot of reasons. You left on this trip, you had a healthy Ryu, a healthy Seager, and a healthy Kershaw. You come back, and they're all on the list, or about to go on the list in Clayton's case. You lose, you win 4 games, you lose 7 games. You're playing the Giants 4 games, a team that was struggling before you got in town, and now they've gotten hot. You play San Diego, a team that is really a young team with some young pitching, still trying to figure it out. Not always good command, guys that can't necessarily throw strikes, let alone effective strikes, and you don't take advantage of it. But, hey, that's the name of the game. That's the sport. That's why people watch it, and that's why people play it and compete at it. You win 4 games on this long trip, a little bit disappointing. You come home, you get home tonight, you got tomorrow to regroup. You wait on the Clayton Kershaw news, and you figure out what you're going to do after that. You take a breath. You get a chance to reset. Phil Jackson came in and talked to our team years ago when he was still with the Lakers, and he said whenever things got tough, he would, in the midst of a game, call a timeout, tell his guys, hey, reset. Let's reset. Let's refocus on what we know we can do. Let's magnify our strengths. Let's back each other up with our weaknesses, and let's get after it. So that's where the Dodgers are at.
Very well said. Tomorrow, day off of the Dodgers, back at it on Tuesday as they start a 6-game homestand, 2 against the Diamondbacks, 4 against the Cincinnati Reds. I don't know if you've been home yet, Ned, but have you a chance to talk to the Cats yet about the Clayton Kershaw going on the DL? Are they upset about it? How are they reacting to it?
No, I got out of the house today before they knew, so I'm sure I'm going to have to explain that to them as the night goes on here.
That's a tough conversation.
They had a good time at Cinco de Mayo last night, so they were a little recuperating today, a little bit too much catnip, I think, last night.
All right, give them some Advil, they'll feel a little bit better. All right, Ned, we'll talk to you in a couple of days. Dodger fans, Dodgers back at it on Tuesday at the start of a 6-game homestand. It is Rich Hill and Zach Godley, this pitching matchup, 7:10 first pitch. We'll have Dodgers on deck, getting it all started at 6 o'clock. Dodgers head home after a 4-7 road trip. They lose today in Monterrey, Mexico by a final of 3-0. So long, everybody.